Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
CBD Revolution. The world is discovering CBD and its potential for numerous health benefits. Hemfusion Wellness is the premier company looking at CBD with a whole food perspective. For the highest quality CBD oils and products for stress, sleep, energy, and topicals, it's Hemfusion. This CBD Revolution highlight has been brought to you by Hemfusion Wellness, U.S. trading symbol CBDHF, and in Canada, CBD.U. Web address, hemfusion.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor Richard Epstein, the Hoover Institution. He teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. The Hoover Institution on the Stanford University campus in Palo Alto is on the territory of the state of California. And there's an exciting, not quite election underway, more like a C-election, called the recall vote. The rules are arcane, and as the professor informs us, they date back to the early part of the 20th century, 1911. In California, if you gather X number of signatures, there are bars to get over, you can then submit the governor to a recall vote. It's in two parts. The first part of your ballot says, do you recall governor, and then fill in the blank. If you vote, yes, I recall him, the second part of your ballot is to choose from a long list of candidates. It's first past the post. September 14th is the date. Importantly, that date was chosen by the governor, Gavin Newsom. It's an arbitrary date. It is fate that this date is coming together with a number of outside events that inform the public that things are not right. What's kind? The largest wildfire in California history, the Dixie Fire, and the fire threatening the extremely important Lake Tahoe region, the Calder Fire, are now underway and not solved. And then we get into the national picture of jobs and recovery and the pandemic. California, despite extreme mandatory rules in the first year of the pandemic, is struggling with the Delta variant as all the other states. Professor, a very good evening to you. I've laid out some of the coincidences to this recall vote, but you look very carefully at the governor, Gavin Newsom, and the success or lack of it for a one-party state. Good evening to you, Professor.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, the question is, to what extent do you think that all of the descriptions that you've given are accurate with respect to causation and so forth? But I think it's very important to remember that the way in which these kinds of recall motions begin are with some obvious action which is seen to be hypocritical by the public at large. And in this particular case, it was an unmasked dinner at the French Laundry, a most posh restaurant, sitting up there, I think, in the Napa Valley somewhere, is what first attracted attention to this. And what it did in effect is it says, here's a man who says, do as I say, but not as I do. And that kind of behavior just triggers all sorts of resentments. So what it is that's the spark, and then all the tinder that you're seeing of the various kinds of issues that start to take place. And, you know, what the causes are and how these things are to be handled is a matter of great debate. But what happens is California has basically cast its lot with a very strong progressive system. Checks and balances is not an operative word in that particular jurisdiction, because every single branch of government is controlled by people who are of a very strong progressive persuasion. It's the governor, it's the assembly, it's the California Senate, it's the California judiciary, it's most California major local governments and so forth, like San Francisco and Los Angeles. So they have nowhere to hide when things start to turn south. Now, how do we know that they're turning south? Well, the usual measure I like to refer to is something called the U-Haul measure. Is are the people renting U-Hauls paying a fortune to get out of California, or are they paying a fortune to get into California? And California lost an electoral vote in the last census. It's the first of many to come. But what's happening is many of its most informed members of the middle class are moving out of the state. So what's going to happen is you'll have a hollowed out state. There'll be large numbers of people who are very dependent upon the very generous welfare systems that California gives. And there'll be some people who are so rich that they may not say what's a million here or a hundred million there. It doesn't really matter. But they're going to do that. The other thing to always remember about why a state is going to be bad is not only can you not keep them in, but you won't be able to attract anybody. I speak to business person after business person, and the language that they start to use is very emphatic. I will not open up any business in the state of California, period. Between the permits and the harassment and the political environment, I can't possibly do business. People want humdrum governments, that is, governments that provide the essentials and leave them safe to their daily adventures. So if you want to see another progressive calamity, just look at the subways in New York City. Mr. de Blasio, people have finally gotten on to the sense that somebody who is lazy and indifferent and doesn't care about his constituencies more than he cares about his daily trip to the gym is not somebody to elect. And so what's going to happen is the progressive base is going to erode. And will that be enough to get rid of Gavin Newsom in this particular case? If I were a betting man, I would say regretfully no. Would I say, do I prefer the other guy to him, not knowing who the other guy is? The answer is yes, and it's not because of the French Laundry, but because I think it's absolutely important that somebody do something to break this kind of monopoly power. And I have no real strong opinions about Larry Elder. I've known people who said, oh, he's a kind of an erratic mind. Some people said, oh, he's really a disguised consistent libertarian. I have no idea which of these things is true. But I do know in this particular case, better the devil I don't know, and it may not be him, than the devil I do know. And this is not because I think Gavin Newsom is any worse than any other kind of progressive. I think it's because he is essentially the symbol of the fact that intellectual rot starts when you have this kind of state domination by a single party. You see it there. You see it in Illinois. You see it in New York and so forth. And I hope that people generally come to recognize that you cannot have a serious government unless you have some responsible dissent so that people are forced to articulate why they want to do things, to defend themselves in public, and not be able to make these sweet backroom deals that nobody is going to attack. And I think that's the thing that's going to drive the opposition. They will have a higher turnout rate, but the Democrats control the mechanisms of polling. So I think if you try to figure out which of these two factors is more powerful, my guess in the end is the Democrats' ability to collect ballots en masse, to make distributions in the way they think appropriate, will probably be enough to carry the day. I may not be able to carry enough to the point that Newsom becomes a credible national candidate for president. But I don't think that the thing I most like to see from this is him to reform his ways. There's no sign whatsoever that he's going to change any substantive policy. I don't think the man has had a new thought ever since he came into government.
He is a progressive, Richard, and I want to look at two ways that the Democrats are approaching this election. The first, you mentioned in your column prominently that the recall vote itself is being criticized as anti-democratic. In other words, that there is no justification for recalling a governor. His term is up at the beginning of 23, and that the arbitrary way this petition was put together does not stand up to transparency. How do you answer that, Professor?
Well, I think there's a fair bit of truth to it, but the ironies are absolutely ultimate. The basic movement in California in 1911 had all sorts of initiatives. It wasn't only the recall. There were ways to get things done through referendum. And these were challenged in the Supreme Court, particularly the referendum device, on the grounds that it is inconsistent with a Republican form of government to allow the popular government to have a direct election instead of going through intermediaries. And as a matter of sort of constitutional history. If you take the definition of republicanism as it existed at the time of the founding, basically between 1780 and 1795, by 1800 it was all gone, what they said is the key to a republican government is ultimately the responsibility devolves upon the people to choose those people who do it, but they never have a direct election. That's democratic mob rule. And so what you do is you find ways to have the public choose a state legislature, and the state legislature will choose your senator, which was the way it was done then. Or you have property restrictions on who can vote in certain kinds of situations. Or you have indirect elections, supermajority requirements, constitutional limitations, or whatever. That was republicanism. Simple majoritarianism wasn't that. And the Supreme Court, I think, properly should have said you can't use a referendum if we have a guarantee of a republican form of government. But what they did is they said republican schmublicate doesn't mean anything. The key thing to understand is that political deference by the court to political determinations should exist, and they let this thing sail through. And I think referenda are very different situations. I'm much more comfortable with initiatives that are trying to undo legislation like the gig economy stuff, because you don't have the power to go anywhere on the earth to do it. It's a very focused election determined by the scope of previous legislative behavior. But the Supreme Court said no. And now when you start looking at this thing, here's the ultimate irony. All the big money in California is going behind Newsom, right? So if you look at his expenditure record, it's probably twice that of the entire opposition together, maybe 10 times as much as Larry Elder can put forward. And what it does is it shows the following truth. There is no way, John, to keep money out of politics. If you change the rules of the game, people who spend the money will change the way in which it turns out they spend it. And so we're seeing exactly the same problem. They started to do it. And I am not a fan of the referendum situation. I don't think it's going to be unconstitutional today. Erwin Chemerinsky and Aaron Edelin wrote this rather bizarre piece in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago saying it was a violation of the Equal Protection Clause. But these are not suspect classifications. This is not based on race or anything else of the sort. And the answer is the huge deference that I just mentioned would carry this thing through, particularly since it's been used not always successfully for the last 110 years. So I don't think it's going to go down on constitutional ground. And my guess is that Newsom will be able to navigate the swamp enough. But let's hope that he's going to get a little bit more chastened when it comes to some of his initiatives. Let me just mention one thing. Not only is he bad about the way in which you do things today, but he and so many other governors now start to think, you know, I'm the man who ought to determine what the energy and fuel policy should be in 2035, 2040, 2050. So I'm going to try to lock all of this stuff in today with my mandates on electric cars and the stuff like that so that nobody else can change it. And so what you do is you have an amplified form of hubris because these guys are trying to really project this stuff forward. Now, you have to do that when you borrow money to make sure that it's going to be repaid. But on legislative policies, you don't like these kinds of lock-ins. And when a guy is wrong and then is able to amplify his errors by locking it in, what you do is you have a genuine crisis. And, you know, in this particular case, it's even worse because there's no Trump administration as a counterweight. You get the Biden administration, ignorant as it is on every substantive issue, constantly backing these guys up. And so what you're going to see is a very bad Democratic tilt. And it may well be that these guys will so alienate the independents that in 2023, the unthinkable will happen and a Republican will win the state.
All right. We come now to the second position advanced, that California is what the people who pay for it want. That is Silicon Valley. When we come back, Professor Richard Epstein, he's at the Hoover Institution on the Stanford University campus in Palo Alto, California. He also teaches law at NYU and the University of Chicago. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show Tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
You've done it again, finance teams. You closed the books, and it went fine. Sure, some expenses were missing receipts, but that's fine. Stayed late to process invoices by hand. It's all fine. But don't you deserve better than fine? With Ramp, expenses are submitted with a text, invoices are coded automatically, and everything is connected to your accounting system, so you can close the books without all the busy work. Switch your business to Ramp.com and love finance again.